Welcome to the award-winning Disrupt Education Podcast, a podcast that explores the latest innovations and trends in the world of education. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser, along with Allie Privet.
We're both educators. Okay, one of us is a former educator, and we were tired of the status quo and wanted to create a space where we could have conversations that aren't always in the public eye. Join us as we talk to other disruptors, educators, researchers, and thought leaders who are pushing the boundaries and challenging the way we were taught.
We're thrilled you're here to be part of a not-so-underground movement to disrupt and amplify the good pieces in education. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, or a lifelong learner, there's a story for everyone on Disrupt Education. We're here each week to bring you stories from all over the globe of people doing education differently.
So buckle your seatbelt, get on the disruptor plane as we climb to altitude before letting this episode free fall straight to your ears.
Hey, it's Peter Hostrasser here. And hey, I want to tell you something about how I am actually disrupting education. Yeah, I'm moving forward with portfolios on spikeview.com. If you head over to spikeview.com, basically what we're teaching our students to do is actually to create a skills-based portfolio around their interests, their passions, and what they're good at. It's called the strength-based approach. So basically what we do is we build up our students and have them understand what they're good at and what they're interested in by the time they leave our high school. But it doesn't stop there. It's a K through gray. So if you want your students to continue to build their strengths in this day and age where resumes are dying, and to show more and more about who they are, what they do, and they actually control all the data behind it, guess what? SpikeView is the place for you. Head over to spikeview.com, check it out. Let me know if you need anything, because I tell you what, I have used this with my own family and my students. Check out spikeview.com today. Welcome back to the podcast. Allie, more snow. That's what we're just going to start with, more snow with you in Wisconsin. What's happening?
Yep. The sky has fallen. It has released anchor in the form of beautiful snow, about a foot, which I was saying before we recorded, like, that's not a crippling amount for the area that I live in, which seems ridiculous because I used to live in St. Louis, Missouri, and, you know, they would cancel school with the thought of snow. And here we get a significant amount. And yet school may have been canceled today just because or maybe it was a late start, but they'll be back at it tomorrow. You know, it's like, no big deal. Okay. We've got a foot of snow. And
as a business teacher, I think that's just all about, like, okay, kids, get out there, make some money, man, like, start shoveling. So
there's money to be made. Everywhere.
That's right. That's right. So with us today, we're continuing our AI chats, GPTs. I don't know. We're just coming up with all kinds of acronyms here. But we have Uzair and Adam, and kind of want to let you guys give an introduction, and then we're going to dive in. You have a platform. We've used it a little bit in education. Very excited about this conversation. But can you give yourself a quick introduction, kind of a little bit of a background, and then we'll jump into the AI you're working with. So we'll start with, I know you, Uzair, so I'm going to Adam first.
Oh, all right. So to introduce myself, I'm 24-year-old designer from Czech Republic. I've been at this since my primary school, kind of started very early. Had some mentorship from big players. One of them is my name is Luboš Volkov, who is head of product design at Topto. Since I started, I have about 40 successful products done in Czech Republic market. And I'm just hustling and keeping on my journey, you know. And if you're interested in anything in detail, I think we can go into that through the call.
Sure, absolutely. We'll dive into your education too. I'm excited to ask a little bit more about that. Uzair, how about you?
I am not 24 years old. add a decade, a couple more than that. Not a couple decades, but anywho, I'm in Chicago. I'm a product. I don't know what to call myself these days, designer, builder, manager, product shipper, I've been shipping products for over 15 years now. I started in sales when I was younger, and then I went into consumer products. So one of my main products was a utility alarm clock that I helped over 1 million people wake up with. And then I went into whole life learner skills for the past 3 years in K-12 education. And yeah, today I'm working on Veloce AI with Adam and kind of cranking away with our new findings and possibilities in AI.
Thanks for being here. Okay, like, can you, for somebody who has no idea what Veloce is, okay, other than I pulled up the website, someone who doesn't know, you know, like, what is it? And then, like, how did you get into this space?
And maybe, I'm sure we both have different angles. And how I got into it was, yeah, like I said, I had spent about 3 years in particularly social emotional learning, CASEL aligned skills competencies. And so I was really interested in just soft skills measurement and motivation and grit. And I was a bit frustrated with the last product I was working on, District Zero, which is also Adam designed the logo. So, you know, that's where we are started here. But anywho, it just took forever and the technology wasn't really there to kind of get people to the aha moment or what I was trying to achieve with District Zero. And so Veloce AI, what we position it as is actionable plans for any problem. So the idea is to be able to break down anything, however impossible you think it is, or however complex or descriptive you it is or technical it is. Veloce AI isn't designed to kind of give you back reports and data. The idea is to give you actionable plans or to create plans to build accountability and actually move forward with learning as opposed to just absorbing.
I think Uzair is spot on. Like, my angle on it is we're just trying to help people resolve the issues they had in life. I think with AI coming to our everyday lives, it's this like big helper we need to learn to utilize to actually reach our goals faster and get rid of the blockers we actually have in our lives way faster too. But I think like Uzair's description was spot on.
For those who don't know, I have worked with Uzair on a couple of things. We go back into the alarm clock. We go into District Zero, which I love the fact that you've pivoted into. I mean, you've always kept blockers out there. And I get that from Adam, like moving quicker and moving through things. Well, let's go into education, right? So, you know, personally, for both of you, we'll just start there. What are some of the things that were blockers for you in your own educational path that you saw that now you're like, oh, wait, like if I had this, it would have helped me. So, Adam, you started talking about how you've been in, you know, coding and you know, that area, technology. What were some of the things in school? I mean, you may have to explain to us a little bit about, you know, Czech Republic schools versus schools here in the States, but what was your path like there, and what were some of the blockers that you could now say, you know what, I could have used this to change?
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting and very hard question to be honest, because I can't like pinpoint to any particular blockers at this time, but I can share my journey. Because I feel like kids nowadays are really forced to choose their paths very soon, which was true for me too. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I want to do with myself, and I've kind of just joined the school so I can do something, I can be in the school. I was kind of forced to go the way, the school way, but instead it made me drop out of the school. I didn't see the value because I was forced to learn. And once I dropped and I kind of gained some perspective years later, I realized I would really appreciate going to school again, but I can't do it now because I need to earn money and stuff. But I feel like the blocker nowadays for young people is they are forced to actually choose their path very soon on. And if they would be given the time, they would actually realize what they want to do. So this was my story. And my blocker was that maybe I didn't know what to do, and I needed some time, and that's a hard one to fix with AI, but I think we could nail it down with Uzair too.
Uzair, I know your path a little bit, but yeah, explain to the listeners, because you have a unique path as well.
And I learn more about myself each time we talk too. It's like these milestones. So I think it like evolves too. my difficulty was, being an immigrant coming from Pakistan, growing up in the United States public education system. You know, it was, I started off as kind of lower middle class, and then middle class kind of is where, you know, found our balance. And my thing was like, I was always finding something new, or my attention was going out, whether it was business or websites or projects or selling warheads from Walgreens, you know, like it was like, and I don't know, some of as I got older, it was hard to explain these sometimes like rapid volatile decisions, you know, in college and high school to my parents. And so I would lie. I would say what the other person wanted to hear. And it was very difficult to manage that years later with relationships. So I think like, you know, today the possibility I see is like being able to change our minds or decide, you know, kind of to what Adam's point is, not being stuck in one decision and being able to adapt and quickly understanding like what are the steps to doing that change, you know, whether it's a career or a job or, you know, in high school or anything at all. Just being able to get that quick assist when we change our decision or make a new decision, and then have the tools or support to kind of do that or see progress. So,
this is an interesting thought that you have here about I like the phrase that you use, like rapid, volatile experiences. So with AI, right? Potentially, you know, your product and others, it seems like it could potentially like eliminate some of the frustration and struggle. Is that a good thing? Like, would you be who you are without, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Your thought made me wonder, like, is that part of the human experience that we want to take away? Like, what, and then if we do, because someone's aiding us, whether it's another person or technology piece, then what are we allowing maybe to, like, if we don't have that struggle, then like where could we go without it?
Yeah, I think you are spot on with the struggle. It's a classical philosophical question. If there's no struggle, is there any happiness, you know? But I would argue it's just, as you said, it's just moving the struggle to another level. It's basically speeding up the issues we have right now and finding the issues that are beneath that, kind of getting rid of the issues we have at the time and finding the new issues. And the whole learning process is about failing fast, you know, and the faster you fail, the faster you learn. So that's what we are aiming at, actually.
Originally, like, this comes from agile language in the professional world, you know, just working as a team across common blockers or issues. And then there's bits of design thinking in there, which is, you know, the first step being empathy. It's very difficult to understand someone's problems before you can actually get to testable, rapid solutions. And then, you know, there's even like the personal knowledge mastery framework, seek, sense, share, where, you know, you can't just absorb information. You have to work on it and then validate it with others and see if you were correct. With that being said, I've been pushed into a lot of corners over the years. You know, I've went through a lot of struggles and my grittiness came from those moments. But I do believe there were times in those moments where, call it self-deprecating pain or this willingness to kind of just say, hey, I don't think a lot of those were necessary, you know, and whether they were or not, you know, I definitely could have had better language trying to express my change or thought process to others. And, you know, AI is, I think it's I just look at it as technology. It's like, it's not to remove that frustration. One more example I'll bring up from Apple days, we had this one-to-one program, which was all about, you know, you don't just give the laptops to somebody and walk out the door. you should help open it up and figure out why is somebody actually using this technology, and you know, how can it apply to their life? You know, and we learned the idea of empowerment with technology. So don't let the customer, or don't drive for the customer. Like, we wouldn't tell them or point their mouse to where the solution is on the window. We'd say, hey, if you look towards your top left, you'll see an icon there that shows you where you can go. So this very like empowerment approach to just growth and learning, you know, go through the hard times, but don't kill yourself in the process, you know, or self-deprecate pain. Along the process,
running students very quickly. I mean, we're very scratching the surface level of Veloce. I want to say that I'm going to say it. That like a dude say from it. Indiana. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, Veloce. That's fine. which I love. There is a backstory here of you know, Uzair. You went to Italy to just kind of,
which Allie and I'm so just like, yeah. I'm hoping we get into this at some point. I'm like,
oh, absolutely, because yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a moment for you to really kind of recollect yourself and such. But I digress. We'll get back to that in a moment. I think one of the interesting things of seeing students use this, they're figuring out the definition along with educators of what AI is, right? Is it becoming the Xerox of copier? You know, like it's being a term that's out there. And my point can be made by two students. One student, while we were working with them, Uzair, one student was like, well, it doesn't really tell me things that I need to know. I already know this. Mm-hmm. Da 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 da. And then another student today, as we put him through my internship class, was like, oh, this is holding me accountable. And so there was a different lens on AI there, which was interesting to me, because one student was like, AI is supposed to give me everything I need and I shouldn't have any sort of, you know, hands off, which I don't think that is the intention of your platform. I think the second kid really got it and said, oh, this is going to hold me accountable. All right. Oh, this is going to go in. He got it right away. This is going to go into. So first off, walk us through what Veloce, I said it nicely there, is. And then like, let's go through, say, education, right? Let's go through on an education lens of where you hope to see it go.
So, it's an open search field, you know, and how when you go to, govaloce.com, you can, go through Tri Alpha right on the top of the menu and you'll see an open search field, just like Google or, you know, any other open search. And the idea here is to, express what you're trying to achieve and then express what's holding you back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a term we throw around called blocker, and blocker is just an alternative term to problem, issue, impediment. The idea with a blocker is it can be a mental blocker, a physical blocker. You can't delete blockers. So similar to emotions in your past, you can't delete them, but you can resolve them. So you can chip away at blockers, you can ignore blockers, you can work around blockers, right? So that's first step, is understanding how language around block. And, you know, I'm not saying we're perfect at these departments, but this is kind of the first step, is kind of fine tuning your language a little bit. And so you might throw in there and say, I'm hungry, I'm sleepy, and you'll get some general responses back. Hey, maybe make a meal, you know, prepare a snack, you know, something general. But the more descriptive you are, the more descriptive and meaningful your responses or solutions will be. So you could say, you know, I'm a citizen of Pakistan living in Karachi, and I need a visa to the United States, but I don't have much money. And it'll give you, and you could enter that in Urdu, you could enter that in English, and it'll give you back three simple resolutions. So ideas of what you could do, maybe find sponsors or local support groups, etc. Right, this is where the AI comes in, because it's as flexible as you need it to be, right? And then the second thing it also allows you to do is generate short activities. So this is where the accountable piece starts to mold in, where it's like, you know, you don't want to, we try giving people just general activity ideas, feedback from folks that I don't have enough time for this, or, you know, this will take me forever. How could I ever do this within the time that I have right now? So this is where we use constraints and we generate 15-minute short activities. And the idea is for you to hit an aha moment. So either you hit something and you say, oh, I've heard this before. And the aha there is a validation point, you know, where it's like, okay, that's correct. Or I learned something new that I didn't know about, which happened with a student about the Pomodoro technique. And then an hour later, they went and Googled it. And so it sparked this new idea for somebody, right? And then from there, you can add it to your calendar when we'll do further things. But the idea is commit to that, mm-hmm. you know? So if it's short and sweet and it's a meaningful enough activity, and this kind of my bio background, you know, applying the scientific method and constraints and experiments, you know, it's like within that 15 minutes, let people kind of just refresh until they see something where it's like, wow, 15 minutes, I could do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm chipping away at my blocker. So you could put in anything from general to impossible as you like in there, and it will kick out a plan.
Allie's thinking now. She's got a blocker. Yeah.
I was trying to think of the most ridiculous thing I could put in there.
And that's the best ones to test. You know, it's like, this is where the demo comes in great and fun, you know? So it's like, sure. But I could run it. I could run it right now if you said anything, and even personalized to you, because I know you've been skydiving quite a bit, or you've been doing some fun things, you know, but.
I wasn't going down a road that was like actually applicable to my immediate life.
Sure.
I was curious. So, oh my gosh, and his name is gonna elude me right now. The astronaut who spent a year in space. And I was like, what would it take?
Oh,
to
Scott Kelly?
Yeah, Scott Kelly. I've met him. I like my brain just went blank there. But cool. Yeah. And so he has a really cool story. But I was thinking to myself, okay, his story is pretty like seemingly impossible. But if I wanted to be an astronaut and live in mm-hmm. space for a year, would the AI have actionable steps for me?
Yeah. I mean, we're not saying we're creating all the knowledge, right? Yeah. We're just curating it from the best sources. And you know, and we're setting expectations with this is the kind of the challenge where you mentioned earlier, Peter, about, you know, students feeling like it gives them the answer. And I think there's always going to be the kids mm-hmm. that felt like calculators or scientific calculators gave them the answer, right? But then there's a whole population that use that to kind of allocate a certain type of compute and then focus their energy or creative powers on other things,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's what we see, or where we see the possibilities with technology and AI, is not giving, like, you could go to these chat bots, right? And mm-hmm. then you hit the inaccuracies, or you can hit the generalized, you know, responses. And that's where you start to lose trust, and you start to wonder, why is this thing dishonest, or why is this thing... Or you can use that power and kind of alleviate issues, right? And control the expectations. So we're not saying, hey, we're not giving you one response.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving you three responses,
mm-hmm.
right? Option right off the bat. You know, we're not saying, hey, this will solve it. We're saying, hey, option, elaborate on that option, right? These are activities. We could fine tune the back end to keep it even more general or vague or tight, but I think it's just how you utilize it. You know, there's some photo ones, right? Photo examples of tools where they're using the same AI power, and some tools don't factor in the content filtering, or, you know, some of these safety issues. And then next thing you know, you have NSFW photos being generated, you know, so I think it's just utilizing these powers or these technologies in meaningful ways, and managing the expectations with the end user.
I would even say it gets really dangerous if you want like blueprints for life or tasks out of the AI. There's an actual story when AI started on the internet like a few months back or a year. I don't know how long it has been since AI was introduced, but it's very recent. A lot of developers started generating code there, and then started sharing that code on Stack Overflow, which is a website where developers share their knowledge. And it turned out a lot of the code was wrong. So the more specific you get with the AI, the more issues you start to have. So we are focusing on like actually expanding the pathways you can go down, instead of giving you just blueprints to your issues in life.
I think that's with anything. You know, I will kind of say I'm the oldest one in this room, but going through, you know, MySpace. Yeah, I went there. And all the way through, you know, Facebook, Meta, all, you know, there are these, there's good that comes, and then there's bad that comes along with it. You know, people tend to look at the bad and freak out because that's what sells, et cetera, et cetera. However, one of the things that I'm very interested in, Ali, I'm going to like kind of piggyback off of you of like what a school would look like. Let's just say we walk into, well, okay, I'm just going to use me because I'm a business teacher. So students, the blocker is they don't know what a channel is, right? To connect a consumer with the value of whatever somebody's selling. So I have to teach that, or I have to give them something. And I'm going to ask Ali this first, but Uzair and Adam, I want you to kind of elaborate on where you see this going. But I see it as, okay, well, Belote's up. All right, everybody, this becomes more individualized education for everybody. I'm the mentor. I'm the person there that is, I don't know, motivating or you know, relating the human that is like, okay, guys, type it in. You guys need to know what a channel is. I don't care what kind of business you want, blah, blah, blah. They get to choose that. They get to put that in there, and it puts these things out there. What are your thoughts on that first, Ali? And then I want to ask the two technologists in the room. I love that term, technologists.
In terms of like what you guys, Uzair and Adam, you guys were already talking about with, you know, it's removing the unnecessary struggle, right? And also, when one student could totally, you know, go, you know, type it in, get their answer, and then start applying it immediately with the AI, and another one could take longer because they, you know, they don't really first understand the first option. And then like the teacher is able to more easily flow because they know, in my mind, I'm thinking like they can each get their questions answered and they're not waiting for the one person. That was always something I would say constantly in my classroom is like, there's one of me. Mm-hmm. And there's 20 plus of mm-hmm. you. And like mm-hmm. when I'm doing lab stuff in a chemistry lab, I mean, AI, it would be hard to integrate that at this point with like Bunsen burners and, you know, mixing the chemicals and everything. But, you know, in terms of like problem solving and in that aspect, I think it really allows people to individually move themselves forward at their own pace. So I'm all for it.
Where do you guys see this? So obviously, you know, the use cases, we're on the education side, obviously, disrupt education here. But I think everybody's learning with it. So what are your thoughts on something like that? Where do you see this in the educational world?
Hit your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, this goes way back to the question you had about my blockers in education. And I think in current state of the system, students are very reliant on the materials teachers give them. And when they go out to actually search for their questions, they need to go on the internet, which is very opinionated and populated with all kinds of answers. And AI kind of simplifies that and empowers the curiosity, which is something I missed when I was studying at school, kind of made me a dropout. And then when I had my own time, I found my curiosity again. But I think AI actually unlocked this path, and it simplifies the way you can get the information to be actually curious.
So I'll hit two points. One is the teacher point. You know, Ali brought up both of these issues. And the second is the Bunsen burner example, because I was a bio major, and actually I would push back a bit. The thing with the teacher, you know, and historically, right, Peter's had to be the expert in channel relationships, the latest business tactics, right? How to express what a channel is. How do these relationships, how to build, he's got to be everything. Then came the Google era where he was like, hey, search XYZ, right? And then kids are still then, you know, things are, hey, Peter can be a facilitator now, right? He doesn't have to promise that, hey, I'm the expert, but it's like, I'm the best position person here to motivate you all to keep challenging it. Keep running those, dig deeper, right? Like, oh, wow, I learned something with you. Aha, teach, right? Teachable. So that's the one big thing is like, to your point, Ali, is like teacher, just there's too many students, too many issues, too many variables. That's just it. That's really what it is. It's too many variables expected for the teacher to resolve and address. And it's like, no, the teacher can't. If they get lost in that, there's so much frustration. Things get time lost. There's so I think that big bottleneck frees up here. The Bunsen burner example in the lab, because I was in organic chemistry too, and I think about these moments, right, where I was like, sure, I get a workbook or I get a textbook that says, hey, do these steps. But in during that Bunsen burner moment, my liquid titration turned to black instead of purple. And I feel stupid asking the lab. The steps don't say anything about this, but quickly I need to just put this random situation that just happened. I was doing this process, but my liquid turned purple. It was supposed to turn black. What could have happened? Three simple steps to just guide me, right? And this is guided by a great knowledge repository. So, you know, I think there's like, there are kind of like areas where it can be applied in any situation. But yeah, big thing is like, it's not replacing the teacher or the student's, you know, desirability to learn. I think it's like, once people realize like, oh, wow, this frees me up to figure out the next thing, that's I think when people get excited.
I know it excites me, like with the idea of, so I'm not in the classroom this year, and I'm not planning on going back at this moment in time next year. But when I think about a classroom with AI, in this idea that, man, I mean, just the picture that you cast there with, oh, I don't have to be everything and keep up with all of the research and all of the new techniques and everything. And I get to be in the learner's seat as much, because like, I don't know about you guys. Like, I know, well, Adam, you've talked about how you really didn't like school, but I love school. Okay. That's why I exactly like stayed in school and like was teaching in school. But at some point I realized it's like, I wasn't challenged myself as an educator. Like, I could control the variables that I needed to like keep my classroom in a place that like I knew, understood, and like could move people forward through the curriculum in a way that I felt like authentically did that. But I was bored. And I think a lot of students are bored. I love the possibility of being able to like be a learner in your own field again. I wonder if like other educators would feel that way, if they heard, you know, you guys and other, and heard AI like this. Because that's not when we before Peter and I even like, we were thinking about like, who should be going for the podcast, what should we talk about with this discussion, a lot of the messaging that I had heard was like all this negative stuff around AI and ChatGPT and all of this. And
what's like the greatest fear from that? Where do you think, like, what could go wrong?
The idea that, okay, so like they don't understand like how it could be useful, and that students, one, it could replace teachers. Students will just cheat all the time. There won't be any learning, right? Like all these fears of like, it's gonna, why even have school? Right. Like, I mean, that would be, if I was an educator, or if like a student thinks like, oh, I don't have to learn anymore, I'll just put it into ChatGPT and it'll do all the learning for me. And it's not about how it could enhance learning. It's all about how it could take away and reduce it. And I love this conversation because it's showing me and our listeners that it really could be a whole movement into a new era of learning and education, and not hold us like back. It's a better calculator. It's so interesting because Dan used that example too.
Right.
There's so many like science, like research. There's like a Harvard Business article in my head about leaders and inspiring teams and retention and happiness through positive energy. Essentially, it's this measurement of, you know, how do you feel when someone when you engage with a team member? Do they leave you drained or do they leave you energetic, right? And that leads me to my second point, which is leaders have to take this on upon themselves, like whether it's AI or any technology or a new classroom design, right? Like it takes those leaders to step up and say, hey, we're not scared of knowledge. We're not scared of data. If we play the fear card, then yeah, we're going to go down that path. And even at Apple, we didn't measure how many people stole from the store. We measured how many things stayed according to inventory, right? And we didn't have cameras. So there's this whole element around just positive leadership and inspiring from within, and then let the students become superheroes. Watch the teachers become superheroes too, you know, like, and people realize, and they get past this language barrier. It's like, oh yeah, of course. I don't know about you guys, but it's gotten to the point now where if somebody hasn't used ChatGPT yet, I almost trust them a little less. Like, it's gotten to that point where I'm like, I'm not saying AI is all intelligence, but it's like, right. I've seen enough now to see the change, and Adam and I both transformed,
mm-hmm.
whether it was in coding, whether it was in 3D design, we unlocked mm-hmm. skills about us that we didn't know. So if people aren't doing this at this point, it's like, why are you holding yourself back?
Right.
Right. Like, what growth are you holding yourself back from?
Yeah, I wanted to react that it still stays the same. If you cheat, you cheat only yourself. It's actually about educating the students about the possible uses of the AI and teaching them that it's not actually here to do the work instead of you. It's here to be used as a tool to grow.
You know, I am in the classroom now, and when I bring it up, the kids look at me like, you know, it was their dirty little secret for like 10 minutes, you know, and now like, I'm like, it's not a secret, guys, like totally run with it. Right. Like, this is something that can get you closer to your goals. I mean, I'm a business educator, but like, you know, I use it for, you know, this podcast. I use it for producing other people's podcasts. You know, so what's interesting,
did people hold back google.com from us?
Was like that when we were in school? Yeah. Did they?
Yeah. I don't know.
Did they hold?
Because I remember like 37 and AskJeeves.com. Like, was this stuff banned? I don't remember.
I was
cell
getting...
phones were.
Yeah.
Cell phones were. Calculators were too. Mm-hmm. But
I definitely remember being like, well, you can't go on Google and just Google your answer. You need to go to the library and read a book.
They put the fear of God in Wikipedia on you. I remember that. It was like, oh, that's all wrong.
Yep.
But yeah, I think when anytime someone's limiting you from access to knowledge, I mean, like, I think about if I was in Pakistan and I was growing up, like, even if you gave me all the access to all the people in Pakistan and in that town, like, it still limits me because some people are inauthentic or dishonest, or some mm-hmm. people just don't have access to the latest knowledge for guidance. And you might mm-hmm. spend months or years, you know, working down a path where it's like, this tool makes me feel like, wow, at least I have the highest levels of guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can still talk to other people throughout the day, but I got this like highest level of guidance, right? From this knowledge repo. And in any expression, I wrote in emojis, I wrote in my own, whatever it was, you know.
I think there's something powerful about that. Yeah, I think,
not spiritual highest for the listeners, all right, because I am a Muslim, so but you get knowledge, you get it.
Right, but I pulled, you know, this into the our conversation with the last episode, and I'm sure everybody will be talking about it. It's really when new technology or change comes that, you know, you get your camps, and there are two very separate camps with any kind of major change, right? Like, how many people still wanted the horse and carriage, right? They're like, no way, man, this is nuts. You know, they were the horse owners, right? So, you know, you start to think about education is the system, right? And I think that's where we're going. Is the system about control, or is the system about freedom? I mean, because, you know, when you look at certain systems that ban this, which is very laughable to me, I'm sorry, but it just is. It's like, really? Like, the kid's going to go home and figure things out or whatever. So, you know, it's rather silly to me. Better to dive in. And I think actually we did miss the big opportunity with social media there. And I think that's why we have so many problems with it, because there was an opportunity to teach people how to use social media and not be used by it. And not to say that the school system would fix all that, but it would probably have helped. But so I think, and then the other camp is, yeah, let's get into the sandbox here and start playing around, which I'm excited to see. I really, really am excited to see. With that being said, I wanted to ask both of you, Uzair and Adam, what is the platform that we'll put the link in, and then where can people find you and even connect with you? We have a lot of educators, we have a lot of administrators, a lot of parents, a lot of learners here if they wanted to reach out.
So we're starting to make noise on social. Definitely find us. We're on LinkedIn and Twitter right now. So Veloce AI on both LinkedIn and Twitter. Our URL is govaloce.com. I think the best thing you can do is just engage in conversation with us, you know, on Twitter. We're building in public, and, you know, it's important that that's why we're doing these pilots and testing in different environments. We didn't plan to be in education, you know, it kind of wiped me out, frankly.
You were trying to leave and we got you back.
And it's like, I'm like, future of work. And you guys are like, no, there's a career there for kids. I hear you. And just engage in conversation and then be just test with us. You know, like that's the best way to learn with AI. Have these open, have the questions or ask them. You know, we'd love to give what we know and share it and just build that trust. That's where we're at.
Excellent.
By the way, Adam has been putting the brand together. So he's not talking much about that. But like, if it was me, you guys would not have fun going to the website. Like if I, the buttons would work, but it wouldn't be as pleasing as it is now.
Yeah. But stay tuned. We're going to release a new website soon. And to say it simply, it's going to be very, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like your path and everything. Allie, I want to ask any final thoughts here.
All I know is that I have access now to a tool that can help me be an astronaut. And if there's no other you know thing you need, the sky's the limit. And I jump from the sky voluntarily.
Yeah, you do. That's a very true story.
To see what how I can use it. And I really appreciate this conversation. I know so many people will, and I like really hope that so many people will hear this episode, because anybody who has any fear around AI and whatnot, like they need to be having conversations with you and other like real people who use it and work with it, and it's not this like big scary thing that is gonna take over. Maybe people have been watching too many sci-fi movies.
Yes.
Yeah. And the chatbots. I think everyone's just thinking chatbot, but people haven't really understood the underlying science, you know, what's happening.
It's the tip of the iceberg. Obviously, we're on Disrupt Education, so we're right there with the entire iceberg. Hopefully we dig in. Uzair and Adam, thank you so much for hanging out with us today and giving our listeners a glimpse into the AI, Veloce, and how this can change up education. For Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you all for listening today. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.